I'm joined right now on the phone by the wonderful, esteemed composer Oswaldo Golihoff. He's a multi-Grammy Award-winning composer. He's received a Guggenheim Fellowship, also a MacArthur Genius Grant. He's been composer in residence with leading orchestras, ensembles, and institutions. And he's often worked with the Silk Road Ensemble. And that is what brings him to the phone today to talk about a new album of his music with the Silk Road Ensemble. First of all, let me welcome you, Mr. Golihoff, to FM 91.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
This is an extremely powerful, powerful work that you've created. It's called Falling Out of Time. It's based on the novel of that name by the author David Grossman. And, you know, on the surface, it's about grief, coming to terms with grief, specifically a father in search of his son who has died. Let's talk about the novel and the idea behind the story first, because your music sort of takes it to a completely different level that only music can do. So tell us about how you became interested in writing this piece, Falling Out of Time, and I know it's an impossible question, but tell us a little bit of what it's really about.
Right. Well, I think before the book, I recognize now that I was always puzzled by the question of how does one continue to live, just simply to stay alive after losing a child. That question first came to me when I was about 7 years old and my great-grandfather came to live in my town for a little while because one of his children, of his sons, was ill and he eventually died. And my great-grandfather slept in my bedroom. And I remember very vividly waking up and seeing him next to the window praying early in the morning. So, and I would ask myself, even at that age, how is it possible? And this, on the other hand, the writer of the novel, David Grossman, told me how when he and his wife received the news of the death of their son by two soldier messengers came to tell them, the first thing they did was to go upstairs to the bedroom of their youngest daughter, who was 12 at the time, and to tell her that her brother had died. And she woke up, and the first thing she said to them was, "We shall live." So it's that, I think that the piece is basically about those two contradictory forces, right? The force to keep alive, to stay alive, but also the near impossibility to do so.
How would you describe this piece? There are three different singers. You have all these different episodes mm-hmm. that are sort of gathered into three different sections with an interlude. I mean, there is kind of a ritual aspect to it as presented in music. How would you describe it? Is it a song cycle?
I think you described it very well. We struggled to find a category to the piece because it's not an opera and it's not a song cycle. I think what you said perhaps is the most appropriate, is some kind of ritual. I would say it's almost like an anti-requiem because it's, you know, it's this endless walk, a metaphorical walk that the father takes in search of his son, a little bit like Orpheus, right? Like the myth of Orpheus and the opera about Orpheus, the walk towards the netherworld, towards that place that does not exist, really. And it's not, I think it's almost like an anti-requiem in the sense of the illusion that the father has that as long as he walks, his son is somehow alive, and the requiem implies an acceptance. I don't think that there is a little bit of an acceptance towards the end of the novel and towards the end of the piece, but then after that acceptance, again, the stab of the question, where are you, where are you, comes back, right? So it's a, I don't know. we decided to call it a tone poem in voices, because David Grossman called his novel a novel in voices. And it is true. I think it is, if anything, it is related to the tradition of writing tone poems, except that they are mostly instrumental, in the classical literature. But this one is, these three voices are essential to the piece.
Tell me a little bit about your work with David Grossman in creating this piece. You brought him in on the project, right?
Yeah. At the beginning, he said, he gave us his blessing, and he said he did not, as a rule, he does not collaborate with adaptations of his works, which there have been many. I mean, he's incredibly one of the great writers, I think, of our time. But as the process went on, and given that this piece is so personal to him, and for me, it was a very, I was full of fear, because who am I to try to imagine what it is like to be in his shoes, right? So we asked him to come to one of the workshops that we did with the Silk Road Ensemble. That was in the Holy Cross College Contemplative Center, which is extraordinarily inspiring. I mean, it has a chapel with enormous windows, and we just lived there for, I think, 4 days, and David came all the way from Israel, and his presence, his talking to each of us individually and to the group about what the book meant to him, writing the book, there were some key things that he told us, how grief is an exile, and how the father and the mother who love their son with the same intensity are each of them in their own island of grief. So it's such an isolating experience. And I think the piece is basically trying to not to make it isolated, but to say, I see you and I will accompany you up to the point where it is ever possible to accompany a person who has suffered that loss.
Yeah. It seems like the Silk Road Ensemble and your musical style, for lack of a better word, really fits this piece so well because of, you draw on different styles, you draw on different instruments from different cultures, and you bring it all together. And I mean, grief is a human emotion that we all share, whether we speak English or Hebrew or Chinese or whatever culture we happen to come from. Can you talk a little bit about how you used the different cultures and brought them together into this work musically?
Right. Grief, if you live long enough on this planet, you will experience it. And you know how you actually, while you are grieving, you are falling out of time. The world keeps going, the clocks keep ticking, the seasons change, the day turns into night. There are all these rhythms, and yet your rhythm is outside the world, is in that exile, right? And grief is universal, as you said. I mean, it's not something that we are seeing this in the pandemic, right? I mean, it affects all of us. Now, I think that more than I love, of course, the instruments that I use, but I love even more than the instruments, the people that are playing them here, right? So if these people would be playing different instruments, I would still would have done the piece for them. Even if they all play just guitar, I would have done the piece for 13 guitars, because it's their human energy, it's the capacity of these people to discover nuances between in between the notes, right? I mean, like, you know how in the piano between a B and the C and a C there is nothing, right? I mean, it's just like it's just two white keys that are next to each other without even a black key in between. But the Silk Road is able to find thousands of notes in between, and not pitch, but emotions.
Mm.
Right? And that is, so that's why I wanted to work with them. I couldn't have done, this piece goes to places that we had not, in which we had not been before, musically and emotionally. And the only people I knew that could do it was them. I mean, just the fact that we spent all those days living together and playing from morning to night and exploring. And then the other thing that they have that I love is that they have almost a cosmic spiritual silence at their core, right? There is something, a stillness that very, very few other ensembles have, I think. You know, I think individual musicians have that, but I never have seen an ensemble that has that emotional silence at their core.
Yeah. You mentioned the pandemic, and of course, many more people experiencing grief now in terms of being isolated, in terms of actually losing people
right.
to the
mm-hmm.
disease. What is the relevance of this piece in a time when people are cut off from each other? And mm-hmm. I'm thinking specifically, like, you know, in performance, I've seen videos of performance, and mm-hmm. it's a communal experience, everybody sharing
right.
in their grief. But listening to this album on my own, you know, sitting in a room, it's a different kind of coming to terms mm-hmm. with grief. Can you talk about?
Yeah, that? Absolutely. The piece is, as we said before, it's primarily about accompanying and that accompanying, about the community trying to say to the griever, "I see you and I'm with you." Right, and in that sense, what you said is absolutely true. Right, when the ensemble is in front of you and you are together with the other audience members, it's a whole different experience than listening to the record in your room. And yet, I think that both experiences are, like with any kind of music, very powerful, right? And the pandemic, I think that what the pandemic shares with the piece is that the pandemic is at a global level.
Is
the turning upside down of what we thought was the natural order of things, right? I mean, who would have imagined, especially here, that we are in the first world and technologically savvy and all of that, who would have imagined that the natural order of things, as we thought, the so-called natural order of things, would be turned upside down and we would be isolated and people would be dying and fear and you know, all the consequences that this is bringing. It's almost as if as a world now we have fell out of time, right?
Yeah.
So I think in that sense, I feel that there is something in common.
Yes. I could go through and ask you about specific pieces here, but I will point out that for me, the most powerful moment in the entire work comes at the end, when it's just the solo childlike voice mm-hmm. singing the yeah. words, which I guess is a resolution of sorts. The text
right.
is, there is breath inside the pain. And you mm-hmm. start with a lot of pain in the music.
Right.
And then it melts just into this childlike voice. Can you talk about how you resolve this story, how you resolve these questions, if
yeah.
you do?
Well, yeah, it's not, I wouldn't say that there is a resolution, but like you pointed out, it is possible without this never resolution, this state of never resolving, it is possible to find moments in which one breathes, it is possible to breathe. And that's all you can aspire to. You cannot aspire to reach that place where the father wanted to reach. He acknowledges that. You cannot aspire to resolve that grief, but you can aspire to have these bubbles, these pockets of breathing, of being able to breathe. And that's what it is. I mean, it's related a little bit like the last number of the Requiem is the Liberame, right? I mean, is this idea that in the end there is some kind of acceptance, but only in the very, very end. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wonderful. And it addresses these questions in the way that only music and art and poetry can. Everybody has their own answer that they have to find in this journey. I'm wondering what kind of personal resonance you may have taken from this journey yourself, because I imagine writing the piece and rehearsing it and performing it has been an artistic, you know, a journey for you as well. I mean, what have you realized in creating this work?
Well, if I told you that I understand any better, I would not be telling the truth. I don't think that I, quote unquote, learned, because I think that that thing that inspired the piece is the thing I fear the most in life. Like I think most people, right? I mean, one fears more the unnatural death of a child before your own death than, you know, and I think that I don't think that I'm any wiser, but I think to me I realized that I know personally 7 couples between friends and family who have experienced this, and we all try to avert our gaze, right? Because it's such a, you know, you try to pretend that things are normal when you know that things will never be normal. So in that sense, I think that the writing of the piece, the rehearsing, was that that saying, no, I see you, I see you. I'm not going to avert my gaze, and I know that I cannot be with you in the core of the grief, but I can at least I'm seeing you and I am accompanying you. So that's all I can say about that experience.
Yeah, well, it's an extremely powerful work, and
and
it's been my pleasure to talk with you a little bit about it. So many questions that, you know, we could talk for hours, but
but thank you so much. Yeah, it is. It has been a deep conversation. Thank you so much for this.
Composer Osvaldo Golijov, who has written "Falling Out of Time," it's just been released on the In a Circle record label. That's the Silk Road Ensemble. We'll link to the Bandcamp page on our website as well. And I really look forward to sharing this music with our listeners. And thank you again for joining us.
Thank you. And all the best to you and to your listeners. Thank you.